We all find time to do what we really want to do. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Harrell Varley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. We all find time to do what we really want to do. It doesn't matter how tremendous it is or how insignificant it is, we all find time to do what we really want to do. So often we say that we don't have time. But if you want to get something done, they say, go to see a busy man. And the busy man, if he says yes, he'll put it in his program and it'll be done. You give it to a person who is sort of feeling very busy, and he'll put it in his program, and it may never get to the top. But that's okay. We all find time to do what we really want to do. Now, this morning, Ellen felt it was necessary to take the dogs into the vet to have Button checked out, because Button was acting kind of burpy. And we spoke last night about giving him a little baking soda, but she couldn't figure out how to get it in. Really, we should have a little syringe type of thing, not syringe, but you know, a squirt thing like you use in the basting of meat in the oven, and fill it with the stuff and put it down his throat, and then he'd be fantastic in no time, just as we are when we have a little too much gas on our stomach. But this morning, she drove into town with him and had him checked over by the vet because she felt it was important, and that is important. And she came back with a clean bill of health for him and a few antacids, puppy antacids, and she knew all along what was wrong. She says, I can hear the gurgling in his tummy. I can hear something's not digesting right down there, and it's causing him a little bit of indigestion. And we don't know what our dogs eat. We think we do. The other day, Ellen looked in the living room and she says, what's that? And she ran into the living room, and there it was, a little bird that had passed along the way. And Love had brought it in to show to Ellen, because he said, that's not the way that the bird should do it. It should have a proper funeral. So Ellen immediately gave it the proper service. But you see, we don't know what they're eating. And we don't know what those birds are eating. Those birds are flying around eating all sorts of things, and perhaps not things too good for them. And then they're leaving their bodies for the dogs to be contagious to them. But more than that, we have a lot of other guests on the property. People who walk around here, animals who walk around, people who walk around, and we're never sure what sort of things they leave along the way. We know that across the border in Mexico, their sanitation isn't quite the same as it is here. And they have many problems in their bodies, and as they come up this way, they may leave a few of those problems along the way. So we have to be very careful about touching the things that are dropped by our international travelers walking through the property, as we put them in the trash can or something, you know, like their bottle of water, or like this morning I saw again a pair of sandals that were left out there. Somebody didn't have any shoes, and so they cut up an old blanket, and they took baling wire to keep the blanket together around their feet. And they wore them up to the edge of our property, and then they discarded them. I think they must have gone barefoot after that, or whatever they did. Or maybe they had their good shoes that they didn't want to get dirty. That might be, too. That's an intelligent thing. I just haven't figured that. Isn't it something how our mind answers whatever we need if we just give it a chance? Well, they have time to travel up here. They have the ability to do whatever they want to do. Now, some of them are coming up here on the behest of their parents. Go north, son, and earn some money and send it back to us. And they're really not interested in doing that. And so they allow themselves to get caught. And they're taken to the immigration people and having a nice evening and a couple of good meals and sent back home. Sorry, Mom, didn't make it, you know. And yet others who are appearing very inept at doing border crossings, they just walk right straight through, and nobody even sees them. Nobody even sees them. It's the strangest thing. And they got all sorts of eyes out there. But we always do what we want to do. If we don't want to work up in America, in the United States, and send the money back to our folks, we just get ourselves caught. So we don't go. See, you think, how strange, how terrible. Well, no, it isn't terrible. They don't mistreat the immigrants that are the non-immigrants, the illegal immigrants that are coming in, they don't mistreat them. They just say, no, that's not acceptable. Except for one thing, right now, we have this terrorist thing going on, and so they're a little more close and suspicious of them, because they don't know what they might have in mind. And that's their job, and they're doing it very well, and we're very proud of them. We all have time to do whatever we really want to do. If you want to read a book because that book is so compelling, you've heard about it, and you want to read, you will do it under your covers, and you'll wake up in the morning full of spit and vinegar, even after staying up half the night reading your book, because the book is so fantastic. You see, it's not the sleep that makes you rested. It's the change of venue, the movement of yourself into doing something that you really want to do. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all program ourselves to doing things that we really want to do, and doing more things than we really want to do, doing things that are exciting for us, doing things that are uplifting for us, you know? Now, Sylvia always says she wants to work in the yard, but, you know, Sylvia is the abbot, and all she has to do is say, Brian, come in here and run my computer, I'm going to work in the yard for a while. And see, then she just goes out and works in the yard, and Brian runs the computer. And wouldn't that work, Sylvia? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'm sure with his expertise on the computer, you might have a few crashes, even though you're not supposed to get crashes anymore. But you see, we can always find time to do the things we want to do. Now, I'm thinking around the embassy, the Hermitage, I want to plant the rest of those bulbs. And I just have let everything else make a demand on me before that. But I've gotten the joy songs now to the point where now I'm just going to gently edit them. I've already done everything else. There's 58 songs in here. And I'll check it against the other Joy Song book and see how many are in there. If it's the same, then I can be pretty close. I don't have to worry about it. If it's not the same, then I'll check to see which ones got in or got out that might not, we might not want them to. And I don't know if I have your song in there. What is your song?
When the light.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is...
Come. Here you are. A creator, a magic lady, and
Amazing Grace.
I know the truth. They're both here, right at the end. Somehow, they got in there. And after I'm done playing with this a little bit, I'll give it to you to check it over.
I like music.
I'm sorry?
I like music.
I wouldn't have the slightest idea. We have 58 songs here, and I have edited them and worked on them, and edited them and worked on them, and quite likely, I like me as in there. But here it is. You may look and see for yourself. There. But you always have time to do the things you want to do. And what I wanted to do was to get these joy songs out, because every time we go anyplace, we're out of joy songs. And when we go down to Africa, we need a couple of hundred joy songs to pass out to the people so they can sing them with us. And we need them in Switzerland and in Germany and Italy and wherever else we're going, because the people all need to have them. And they're English, but they understand English surprisingly well. And we're not going to translate that into German. If Irene or anybody else wants to do it, that's okay. But then that's life. Because these are based on this type of thing and based on the English thing. But we always find time to do the things you want to do. Now, Ingeborg was saying that she wanted to take a nap the other day, and I said, take it. Well, when can I take it? I said, take it whenever you want to take it, when are you tired? And she said, well, right after lunch. I said, well, then take it right after lunch. And so she laid down, took her nap right after lunch. She got up, and then she was all set and spit vinegar to do the things she wanted to do. But we all have time to do the things we want to do, and we must do them. You say, well, why should she have a nap, or why should she not have a nap? Well, Ingeborg, that's not even your business. Why? If you want it, you tell me, and we'll see that it happens. But there's no why about it, and there's no comparison about it. Sylvie doesn't have to have a nap every time you do, or Ellen doesn't have to have a nap every time you do, and I don't certainly have to have a nap every time you do. I have a nap when I want to have a nap. and I'm perfectly happy about it. But you do your thing, we do our thing, and we always have time to do whatever it is we really want to do. So if having naps is going to make you more efficient, that's great. If sleeping 24 hours a day, that doesn't quite add up to what we're here for. As I have said many times, many people would like to come here and spend their declining years and have this be the old folks' home. And I said, no way, no way. This is not an old folks' home. This is not a place where sick people are. And we don't invite sick people to come to campus. We invite whole people to come to campus. And anybody who comes to campus, they're going to be treated like they're whole and perfect. And if they're sick, then go to see a doctor and go be taken care of. But we have whole people here. We want people here who are whole and perfect at all times. And this is what we teach, this is what we live, this is what we demonstrate, and this is what we want to do. And if in somewhere we get off the track and we have sick people here, then we've got to straighten out our consciousness, don't we? And in straightening out our consciousness, we straighten out all the people that think they're sick. So this is not unusual. This is not unusual at all. We always find time to do what we want to do. And what we want to do is to walk our spiritual path and be whole and perfect. Now, when you have an illness and you would like to be well, and I say, okay, make the statement, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. You say, well, I've got time, I've got work to do, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I say, hey, you have time to do what you want to do. And if you want to be sick, you have time to be sick. And you just allow yourself not to say I'm whole and perfect. And then you go to the hospital, and then you go to the morgue. You know what the morgue is? Mm-hmm. That's the court of last resort. The morgue is where they put you 6 foot under, or where they cremate you and dust you all over the landscape. But aside from that, Norman Cousins, when he got sick, there was nothing he could do. He had to go to the hospital. He had to go in a bed. He had to stay in a bed. And he decided, well, I'm going to make sure that I get well. So he practiced every possible thing he did, every nuance of medical surgery information that he could have, and he read about laughter. And he thought, hey, I don't mind that. That's not very difficult. So he got into laughter. And it made his healing. But you don't know what's going to do you. But Norman Cousin went 100% into laughter. Now, when you get the idea, when you're having an illness or a discomfort of some kind, what'll make it whole and perfect? Well, you're not going to buy a bunch of books on laughter, that's the one thing. But what you are going to do is you're going to kiss it, and you're going to love it. And if you can't reach it, you kiss your hand and then kiss your elbow. But you're going to do those things that are necessary to put in motion your love for yourself. And Ellen was telling me a lady called from Mid-America just yesterday, was it, or the day before or something. And when she called, she said, she's a teacher and a minister and other things. She said she has this healing need. And so Ellen says, well, say I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And follow the procedure that Herb laid out of the energy touch. And she said, what's that? And so Ellen explained it to her, that you take your hand and put it over your body, your naked body, over the entire body, not touching the body, just sort of letting the energy of your hand heal your body and get all sorts of good vibrations. And that this has been so beneficial to so many people who honestly did it. Most people don't honestly do it. They rub away, and that's not what it's for. It's this energy thing, that you're using the energy that you are sort of recirculating it through your body. It's sort of like the idea of drinking your own urine, because it has the health-giving qualities in it that are necessary, because your body has built up those antibodies and you're just dumping them out as fast as they're building up. And some medical fields feel that you should retain them, but that's another story. But this lady, she heard this from Ellen, and she said, oh my God. And Ellen thought, well, did I just say something wrong? And she says, that's what I teach to my group, and I didn't practice it myself. And this is what we often have. We are superior because we are practitioners, and we've been in the business for umpty-dump years, and we know better, we know all these things, but we don't practice it on ourselves. And we must do that. We must practice all these things on ourselves, because if it's good enough to tell someone else to do it, it's 3,000,000% better to tell ourselves to do it. And this is very important. This will bring healing, wholeness, happiness, health, and harmony to us. And we always will find time to do it, because we always find time to do anything that we want to do. Well, you have a wonderful day, and I love you very much, and I see everything wonderful taking place in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it is.
So it is. Are you sure you want to stop and code?